reading this morning is taken from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4. And you'll find that on page 1082 of the Pew Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. This then is how you ought to regard us, as servants of Christ and of those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear. But that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring light to what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of people's hearts. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. Now, brothers and sisters, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, "Do not go beyond what is written." Then you will not be puffed up in being a follower of one of us over against the other. For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? Already you have all you want. Already you have become rich. You have begun to reign, and that without us. How I wish you really had begun to reign, so that we might also reign with you. For it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession, like those condemned to die in the arena. We have been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels as well as to human beings. We are fools for Christ, but you are so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honored, we are dishonored. To this very hour we go hungry and thirsty. We are in rags, we are brutally treated, we are homeless. We work hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. We have become the scum of the earth, the garbage of the world, right up to this moment. I am writing this not to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I send you Timothy, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach you. Everywhere and in every church. Some of you have become arrogant, as if I were not coming to you, but I will come to you very soon, if the Lord is willing. And then I will find out not only how these arrogant people are talking, but what power they have. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. What do you prefer? Shall I come to you with a rod of discipline, or shall I come to you in love and with a gentle spirit?
Because we're going to do a Bible study today, in a few minutes we're going to just take a look at some of the things that Paul is saying to us in this chapter. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your holy words. We thank you that it is a word that is true and right and just. It is a word that is able to speak to us today and this week. Father, I pray that as we read and reflect on these words of Paul, we will hear your voice to us this morning, and that you will challenge and correct us where we need that. For Jesus' sake and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Finding True Wisdom, that's the name of the series. We've got to chapter 4. A very quick reminder of the context that we're looking at. So Paul's writing to the church in Corinth, a Greek city, situated, if you can see there, in this narrow land between the Peloponnese Peninsula and mainland Greece, benefiting from both harbours and a natural crossroads, both from land and sea. And in ancient days, it was possible to, if you look at the picture on the left, a photograph of an imagination of how it was that you could actually pay for your boat to be hauled across that little narrow neck of land from one ocean to the other. Now, today, on the right, that was us in June. We were there in Greece at a conference, and that's what the canal looks like today, connecting them. So Corinth was a place to get rich. It was a place that was thriving commercially. It was a place that immigrants came to from far and wide. It was established as a Roman colony, and so it was very, very influenced by Roman culture and values. And the religious landscape, there were many great temples. This temple is still standing today. One writer concludes, I don't know if you can read that little writing, he says this: perhaps no city in the empire offered so congenial an atmosphere for individual and corporate advancement. We'd like it if somebody said that about London. But you know, this was said about Corinth. And why do we need to know this history? Because the church in Corinth makes sense when you understand the context. See, every church is a culture church, even our church, Hartford Baptist. And every church reflects the context that it's in, the culture that it's in. And the church in Corinth reflected the culture and the values around it. And so Paul is writing to challenge and correct those values in the church which did not belong to the kingdom of God. And while every church is a culture church, every church is called by God to be a pilgrim church, to be transformed in its values, to be alien to the culture around it. Now there's a tension there, isn't there? Because I'm saying every church is a culture church, and yet every church is called to be alien to its culture. And we need to feel that tension today, this week, in our study, if we are to really work out what God wants for us and how he wants us to live in our world. Now, verse 14, you see that Paul is writing not to shame Christians. This was an honour and shame culture. If he'd shamed them, if he'd have named them and pointed out the culprit, he would have caused them to lose faith and he would have lost the relationship. So Paul says in verse 15 that he's writing not to shame them, but as what? As a father. A father who loves his children and who wants his children to grow up well. And I want us to hear that tone as we listen, because God may have things. He's had things to say to me that needed correcting in my attitudes as I've prepared. He has things to say to you, and we need to hear that tone of a father who is saying,
wants you to be like this. Now, a few weeks ago, Pastor Dave, he was talking about the very opening lines of the lesson. You might want to just flick back a page. Paul, right from the start, he talks about his own identity and the identity of the church. And he calls himself an apostle of who? An apostle of Christ Jesus. And the church, what's the name of for the church? Those sanctified in who? Christ Jesus. And so right from the start, Paul is pointing them straight to Christ Jesus. And all correction needs to do that. All challenge, all correction that we receive needs to point us straight to Jesus. And let's pray that will happen as we look at this chapter. So chapter 4 is really the end of this whole section of the letter. And he's concluding this part of the letter by returning to his identity. And he's encouraging the church to consider himself and Apollos as models of what true wisdom looks like. And he uses two descriptors, and we're going to look at each of these briefly in this chapter. The first is a servant of Christ. We are servants of Christ. And the second is not so flattering, it's a fool for Christ. A servant and a fool. Let's have a look at these. Servants of Christ. This is verses 1 through 7. See how it starts in verse 1. So then, men ought to regard us as servants of Christ. Now, Paul has already described himself that way in chapter 3. If you look at chapter 3, verse 5, what, after all, is Apollos and what is Paul? Only servants. And so here, in chapter 4, verse 1, he picks that idea and description up again. People ought to think of them as servants of Christ. And the idea in Corinth of a leader being a servant would have actually been shockingly countercultural. But it was also powerfully demonstrating the attitude and example of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus says, Luke 22:27, I am among you as one who serves. And again, in Matthew 20:28, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So, Paul is saying, they are servants, not masters. The point is this, that the church has a master. The church has a leader. Every church has a leader, every church has a master, and that is Christ Jesus. And those who lead and who teach, those who are called to be apostles, those are servants of Jesus Christ. But look at the next bit of that first verse. Entrusted with the secret things or the mysteries of God. Paul has already in chapter 2 written about the secret things or the mysteries of God. And here, Paul is talking about the gospel. The secret things, the mystery of God, is the gospel. The gospel is all the riches of God. His power, his wisdom, his love, his grace, all of that is found in Christ. And it's the greatest wisdom and the greatest gift. And it's been entrusted to Paul as an apostle. Now, when something is entrusted to you, it means you have to protect it. It means you have to take care of it. It means that you have to be faithful and responsible with it. And so, as apostles, they were to faithfully take care of and protect the gospel of Christ. Verse 2, they were also to be faithful. For it says, what is required of those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. The most important thing about a servant is not that they become famous, but that they are faithful. Their name may never be known. They may simply be known as a follower of Jesus. But what matters is that they're faithful. And the one thing a servant is to promote is not his name and his honour, but it's to promote the gospel that has been entrusted to them. Now, why does Paul say that they must be faithful? It's because Paul warns them that the master will judge the servant one day. And what will the master be judging? The master will be judging how faithful has this servant been with the gospel that is entrusted to them. And Paul says that's the only judgment that matters. It doesn't matter what other people say about him. It doesn't even matter what his own conscience says. He said, I can have a good conscience, and a good conscience is described as a soft pillow, isn't it? But he said, I can have a good conscience, but that's not reliable. Because I have a good conscience doesn't mean that I'm being faithful with the gospel. So I'm not going to trust in my conscience. I'm not going to trust in what other people say about me, the likes and the dislikes. But what matters is that one day the master's opinion will be given on whether or not I have been faithful. And that's what matters. And verse 5, one day there will be praise given. All at that time, each will receive his praise from God. You see, in Corinth, praise mattered. Because praise is what gave you honour. And honour gave you social status. So praise matters. But Paul's saying, it's not the praise of other people that matters. That's not important. What matters is that one day, God will say of us, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. Now come and share my joy. And one more thing about servants we see in this bit. Servants don't boast. That's been a theme, hasn't it, already right through this series, and I know others have talked about it. The ridiculousness of boasting when all that we have is a gift from God. And therefore, as Paul has already quoted in the letter, 5 times he's already used Old Testament scriptures to show the folly of pride and of boasting. And the irony is that pride is the very antithesis of wisdom. And so Paul is emphasizing no more boasting. No more boasting. No room for pride. Be humble recipients. Be joyful, thankful recipients of what God has given you. So that's a few thoughts drawn from here about being a servant of God. Servant following Christ, entrusted with the gospel, faithful with the gospel, knowing that it is God's opinion of us that matters, and grateful to receive all that God has. But I said that we would look at one other description, not such a flattering one. Well, a servant is highly a very honourable description for ourselves, but being a fool is even less attractive. And yet this is the very word that Paul uses to describe himself an Apollos. He says in verses 8 through to 13, he says that he is in contrast to the Christian in Corinth. And he makes three different points of contrast. He says, you are wise, we are foolish. You are strong, we are weak. You are honoured, we are dishonoured. And the first thing that we can say about being a fool is that a fool relinquishes any honour. A fool doesn't attract honour. A fool attracts ridicule. A fool attracts being put on one side. A fool attracts being disregarded. But a fool for Christ is somebody who wants to bring honour not to themselves and to their name, but to the name of Christ. See, a fool relinquishes honour for themselves, but honours Christ. And if we look at verses 11 to 13, we see that a fool is also stubborn, is also defiant almost in the face of hardship. See, when difficult things happen, in the worldly wise way of thinking about it, you would just want to give up. But a fool will say, no, it does not matter that you are saying bad things about me, because I want to honour Christ and I want Christ honoured. I will not give up being faithful. See, that's foolish in the eyes of the world. But a fool does not give up. And Paul's list that we read this morning might seem far away, but I wanted to share with you these two men, and they're not alone. This is Pastor Hassan and Pastor Kuwa. They are in prison today in Khartoum in Sudan. They were taken, arrested, and put into prison last December for one reason. They were being faithful with the gospel. They are Christians in a Muslim country. There was no charge even to bring against them. But in May this year, charges were finally brought. A whole list of charges, some of which carry the death penalty. The case has been delayed and delayed. This week they were in court. The court was filled inside and outside with Christians. How foolish these Christians are to associate themselves with these foolish pastors. Do you see my point? But you see, they are being faithful with the gospel. And we need to pray for them this week. We need to pray for them that they will be like Paul, that they will persevere in the face of hardship. And that the Christians in Khartoum and in Sudan will persevere in the face of hardship so that many more will find the Lord Jesus Christ. So, fools persevere. Fools are unliked. How does Paul describe them? Apollos and Paul, the scum of the earth, the refuse of the world. I mean, it's hard to think of words that are more belittling than those. They're even beyond being just a fool. It's worse than a fool, isn't it? To be thought of as the scum and the refuse of the world. That's exactly the opinion that people had of Christ that put him on the cross. That he wasn't just foolish, that he was scum and deserved death. And Paul says,
verse 16, imitate me. Now, does that sound foolish? Does that sound proud? No, because if you see closely there in verse 17, Paul is saying that you're to imitate me because my way of life is in Christ Jesus. So what Paul is really saying is that you're to imitate the one whose life is my life, whose ways are my ways. And these are familiar words to many of us, Philippians 2. You're to imitate the one who was willing to put aside everything, to become a servant, to be a fool, and to die on the cross. A servant and a fool, and yet God has highly, what? Exalted him. And bestowed on him honour, the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So, what's our response? Servant and a fool. I wonder what God is saying to you and to me as we go into this new week. As we think of these two descriptions, maybe God is talking to us about our identity. Where do we take our identity from? Is it from our cultural values, being British or South African or American or all the other nationalities we have in this fellowship? Is it in our work or even in our role at church? God calls us to have the identity of a servant of the Master, a fool for Christ. Perhaps God is speaking to us about faithfulness with the gospel. We're not all called to be apostles, and those of us who are teachers must be faithful in preserving the gospel and not twist it and distort it so that it sounds more attractive to our culture and more acceptable. No, we must be faithful. But all of us must be faithful in promoting the gospel. Who will we share the gospel with this week? Who will we share the gospel with this week? Pray that God will give you the opportunity, and be ready, once you've prayed, be ready to take that opportunity. Maybe it's the things we put pride in. The whole letter is about not boasting. For the Corinthians, it was social status. But what about us? Can we be more concerned this week that God works in us the image of Christ rather than this week working on our own image? Can we allow him to do another work in making us, sanctifying us, conforming us to Christ? And maybe for some of us it's this, that we need to persevere in hard times. Like Hassan and Kua, there today in jail. And many of us I know are in a hard season right now. Will we persevere? Will we make that choice day by day, hour by hour, to simply keep our eyes fixed on Christ? Maybe for us we need to read Hebrews 12, 1-3 every morning this week. We won't read it now. But maybe that's what God is saying to you. Persevere. Persevere. Hang on there. For all these things, renewed identity, enduring hardship, being foolish in the eyes of the world, all these need spiritual wisdom and power. Where do we get that? We get it in as we come to the cross. It's found in Christ crucified and raised to life. We come now to communion. We come again to the cross. And it's here that God's wisdom and power can be received. Amen.